You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 150 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm going to start it out by telling you guys, I am in Olympic withdrawal. I'm suffering. I haven't watched a sprint all week. I haven't seen any volleyball. Not a gymnast has flipped on my TV. I don't know what to do with myself. It's been a hell of a week. Obviously, I love the Olympics. You did too. Everyone did. NBC sort of did. I guess their numbers didn't quite reach their projection, and they have to make some deals with their sponsors. But enough of that. The Olympics were great. They're over. Got to slowly get back to normal. Some people won't be getting back to normal. Ryan Lochte, who, you know, we call it a lie, but Ryan said he merely over-exaggerated the story of what happened to him. We all know the story now. Ryan Lochte, the frustrated swimmer. Frustrated because he was born the same time as Michael Phelps, which means he's been swimming for silver all his life. He got into some kind of problem at a gas station, urinating on the wall, some kind of altercation, who knows, ended up having to pay for the damage he did, claimed he got robbed at gunpoint, blah, blah, blah. Well, now he's really losing money because he's lost all his sponsors. Not that he had a ton of sponsors, but he had big sponsors. Look, you're a swimmer. How much money is there in swimming if your name isn't Phelps? Okay, for the male swimmers anyway. So Ralph Lauren dropped him. Speedo dropped him. When Speedo drops you and you're a swimmer, then it's pretty much over. Airweave, a mattress company, don't know why they had him in the first place, but they dropped him. And the hair removal company dropped him because, you know, those swimmers got to stay clean. So Ryan Lochte, he's blown it. His endorsement deals are done. He's a 32-year-old swimmer with a bad reputation. I think he's going to have to learn something new. I don't know that there's a lot of jobs left for 32-year-old swimmers who over-exaggerate. Now, what's really funny to me about this was, in light of everything that Lochte did, I actually read an article. This was... let's see, who wrote this? A guy named Justin Peters wrote this for Slate, asking if Justin Gatlin was the biggest jerk at the Olympics. Now, granted, Justin Gatlin's got his problems. Justin Gatlin was an American sprinter who was caught doping 10 years ago, had to be banned from an Olympics, made it back, is somehow, questionably, mysteriously to many people, faster at age 34 than he was 10 years ago. And in qualifying or during a qualifying attempt for the 200, he tried the old Usain Bolt smile. You know how Usain Bolt smiles at the competition as he's running past him. Problem was, Justin didn't run past him. He smiled and they ran past Justin. Granted, it was a jerk move. But in light of Ryan Lochte, I don't think we can really look at Justin Gatlin as being the biggest jerk at the Olympics. A jerk, yes. Winner? No, I'm afraid not. I bet he's still got his sponsorship deal. He's in sprinter shape. He could probably pick up that deal with Speedo. Just saying. Other people disappointed and upset by the Olympics. The women's basketball team. Okay, let's talk about the U.S. women's basketball team. They're a great team. They've won, I believe it's 6 gold medals in a row. Let's see. Yeah, 6 gold medals in a row. But the men's team gets more attention. And the guard, Deanna Taurasi is upset that the men get more attention than the women. Well, Diana, I'm sorry, but men's basketball is more exciting to watch. With all due respect, we know the women are great. And this goes back, and she talks about back when Lisa Leslie and those women got a lot more press, and they did, because back then the WNBA was new and we hadn't seen it before, so it was more interesting. But let's be honest, even back then, even with the team with Lisa Leslie, who were you going to watch? Lisa Leslie and the women, or Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and the Dream Team? I mean, the men's game is more exciting. It's played above the rim. These guys are unbelievable athletes. When you see the grace of a Kevin Garnett, or the speed of a Kyrie Irving, or the power of a Boogie coming out of Sacramento, it's amazing to watch these guys. And that's what people watch. And it's no... knock against the women. The women play great. They're the best women basketball players in the world. We love them. We respect them. We honor them. No one's going to watch them the way they watch the men. It's not like volleyball. Watching women's volleyball, the game is just as exciting as the men's. Women's beach volleyball might be more exciting. Bikinis. Okay, I'm a sexist pig. Say what you want. But still, even getting away from the obvious bikini joke, it's a very competitive game. It's a hard game. Even tennis. Tennis is a great example. Women's tennis is almost better to watch than men's tennis. And it's dominated by one of the greatest players of all time, Serena Williams. And that's what makes it compelling to watch. You want to watch Serena play. So, Diana, it's no knock against women that people don't watch women's basketball. It's just not as exciting. If there were some super player, if there were somebody who was compelling to watch as a Serena Williams or in golf, remember Tiger Woods? Remember Tiger? Remember we used to watch golf? Nobody watches golf anymore. Oh, few golf fans, but people don't watch golf. You know why? Because Tiger ain't playing. That's how it works. So no knock against her, no knock against the women, no knock against women's sports. I believe the women from the United States dominated this Olympics. I think outside of Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt, the story throughout the Olympics were the amazing women. Amazing. And amazing to watch as athletes. Forget, you know, I'm not talking about beautiful and all that. That's a given. I'm talking about as athletes, the competition. They were amazing. Records were set. It was fantastic. So I don't buy that. By the way, Hope Solo, another competitor for Biggest Jerk, calling Sweden cowards for losing. Well, she's suspended for 6 months. Hope's got some anger issues. I think Hope, I'll say it again, might qualify for the NFL. Just might, because she got some anger issues going. Looking forward to 2020. Can't wait to get back to watching some killer table tennis and some, you know, eight-man rowing, because when else do I get to watch competitive kayak? And if you missed competitive kayak, you missed some hell of a paddling, is all I'm saying. So here's to Tokyo in 2020. Looking forward to the next Olympics. Now, let's get back to crazy American news. And if we're talking crazy American news, let's talk Donald Trump. I, as a black person, have finally been recognized by Donald Trump. Donald Trump has reached out to all of us, to the Latino and black community. Not sure what he said to the Latino community. Offering them, if they pass his tests, if they pass extreme vetting, I guess they're allowed to stay in the country. But here's what he said to me and my fellow black people. Mind you, he said it in Dimmondale, a suburb of Lansing, Michigan, that happens to be 92% white. He said, this is the black people. You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What do you have to lose by voting for Trump? Well, I guess we got to lose that. If that's all we have left, we'd lose that. And now the best response I heard to this was my friend George Wallace, brilliant comedian who you have to follow on Twitter. He's one of the funniest people on Twitter. You got to follow George Wallace. And George Wallace said he'd love to talk to Trump about this all blacks live in poverty thing, but he's not sure which of his houses to invite Trump to. Okay. It's truly mind-boggling. Even when he said that he's going to get 95% of the black vote in the 2020 election, his vice president candidate, the guy from Indiana whose name I don't remember and won't need to because he won't be around long, even he laughed. It's not even a campaign anymore. It's a series of random, ridiculous statements. I don't know what the point is. I don't know. Like my friend Matt always asks, what's his end game? I don't know. I've heard all kind of conspiracy stories about he wants to start a net TV network with Roger Ailes, or he just wants the publicity to show that he can do it. I don't know. But okay, let me tell you something. For the record, all black people do not live in poverty. There's a huge black middle class that's always ignored, unfortunately, by politicians on both sides. But I talked about this last week. Republicans are much worse because they're the ones who want to remove any equality rules or laws claiming racism doesn't exist. So why do we have to treat them equally? Separate but not equal is not equal. You know, yes, schools are bad, but it's because they keep taking money away from inner city schools. And this is part of what that whole voucher system is about. If you're not familiar with the voucher system, whenever you hear him talk about vouchers, this is what the plan is. Take money out of the public schools, give it in a tax break or voucher to people so they can put their kids in private schools, which helps white people that can almost afford private school, but doesn't really help minority people who can't afford private school at all or can't get near, you know, you might not live near enough to one of these private schools or whatever. It's a bad idea. I continually say that America is so short-sighted and so ignorant in that we don't invest in education. One of Bernie's things, the free college, makes sense. Paying for schools is an investment in our future. Nobody does it enough, but certainly the Republicans aren't going to do it. What do we have to lose, Donald Trump? If that's the best you got, everything. So enough of him. While I'm on the topic of governments, Canada, and you know, one of my favorite countries, you know how much I love Canada. If it wasn't so cold, I'd be headed north. Canada has asked us to tell our Texans to leave their guns at home. Yeah, apparently this is a big problem this year. The Canadian government is launching a new awareness program to tell Americans not bring your guns to Canada, okay? Handguns and semi-automatic rifles that are popular in the United States are tightly restricted in Canada. And this announcement comes a week after two different men from Texas, imagine that, attempted to enter Canada with guns they claimed they didn't have. Guess they didn't know you Canadians living up there in your igloos were up on x-rays. Didn't know you had x-ray technology. Just figured we'd say, hey, we don't have a gun. We're just here from Texas. Yeah, right. You got caught. Too bad you didn't get thrown in jail. They just confiscated and destroyed the guns and sent them back home. But, yeah, America, stop it. Our reputation is bad enough here. Do we really have to take it overseas or over borders? Jeez. And this next one, and this is on a personal note, just because I know Leslie. I'm not going to sit up here and say we're best friends or I know Leslie well, but I know Les. I knew Les when she was hustling around L.A. doing spots, trying to make it. Leslie Jones has become a force in comedy. She's doing great on Saturday Night Live. NBC flew her down to Rio to live tweet during the Olympics because her tweets were so funny. She was in that movie Ghostbusters. Well, the haters are at it again, and they hacked into her website. They posted nude photos. They posted the gorilla images, and it's an unbelievable level of hate. Why? Because she's black, because she's strong, because she's funny, because she's smarter than them, because she's successful. Pick your reason. It's an unbelievable level of hatred. Homeland Security and the FBI are investigating who's done the hack, and hopefully they will be found and punished. But, you know, I talked about this once on TMZ, and I heard from Leslie. She was sweet enough to send me a message. All I can tell you is the hate is much worse than we're hearing. I can tell you that. The hate is much worse than what we're hearing publicly, and it's fucked up. And I hate it because people don't understand how hard we work. And I don't often talk about how hard I work, but all of us do it. All of us comics, we're hustling. We're doing spots wherever we can. We getting a break like Leslie got to get on Saturday Night Live and to make the most of that break from a writer to Saturday Night Live to now a worldwide force in comedy and performer. It's an unbelievable payoff to 20 plus years of hard work in your dream. And this is just shit. It's just shit to be hated for merely for being successful. So my heart goes out to you. If you're listening, just tweet a message of love. Let Leslie Jones know you love her. Let her know it's okay to be who she is. It's okay to be a black woman who's funny and successful, and give her some support, because this is just bullshit. And while I'm on the topic, you know, this Kurt Metzger thing, now this might be in the comedy community. I don't know how loud the noise is outside of the comedy community, but Kurt Metzger is a comic and a writer for Amy Schumer. And he wrote a bit about the rape culture. There was another comic that was accused of rape and therefore banned from performing at the Uptown Citizens Brigade, and Kurt basically, and I'm really paraphrasing, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but basically he said the problem is that if you're accused of rape, there's no, like, you can't answer the accusation. The accusation is enough. And Amy Schumer has had to answer for Kurt's actions in doing her book tour. And that's the thing that I have a problem with. I don't know. Why does Amy have to answer for Kurt? Look, Kurt may write for her. He may work for her. But she certainly doesn't put Kurt's thoughts in his brain. If he chooses to write something and it's controversial or wrong or misogynistic or whatever it's judged to be, that's not Amy's fault. I mean, God bless her for answering for her writer and trying to do her best in damage control and spin and whatever else it is. But I don't know. I don't know that she should be held responsible for something he said, particularly as comedians. If there's anyone who has their own voice on issues, it's comedians. It would be one thing if she said something that he, like if he wrote it and she said it, and then she was like, oh, he wrote it and it's terrible and I apologize for saying it. But this was 100% on his own social media platform. So this was his responsibility and he stands behind what he says, and that's it. I don't understand why Amy has to answer for it. It's bad enough you have to apologize for having an opinion, but now you got to apologize for someone else's opinion. So I don't know. I don't even have an, I personally, that's my opinion. I'm not going to say whether Kurt is right or wrong in what he says. I'm going to say Kurt's responsible for what he says. Amy isn't. Amy just employed him. I don't know if she still does. I don't know if he's going back to the show. I don't know if the show's coming back, but you know, I don't know how he's held responsible. And finally, and this is under, you know, this is to all of us out there who weren't thinking. Now, you remember back in 04 and 05 when we could borrow as much money as we wanted to buy any place we wanted with no credit check, with no job. You just had to show up and get a loan for $1 billion and buy anything. Well, we should have bought real estate on Rodeo Drive because the Bijan store, and if you live in L.A., you've seen ads for Bijan and you've seen these ads and you still don't know what the hell they sell in there. It's a boutique on Rodeo Drive. I've seen ads for clothes. I've seen ads for a Bijan gold-plated gun. I don't know what the hell they sell in there because I don't shop in there. But I will tell you this. The store just sold for $122 million. That's right. A piece of real estate on Rodeo Drive sold for $122 million. That's $19,405 a square foot. You see, when we were goofing around buying big houses in the suburbs, guilty, we should have been buying real estate on Rodeo Drive. Then we could have retired and the kids could have had money and we could have had like an idiot swimmer for a son and supported him for the rest of his life. Because somebody's going to have to take care of Lochte. He ain't making no money in the pool and he better not go back to Brazil where they have an arrest warrant for him. So kids, here's the lesson. Here's a lesson. The next time the banks are just giving away money, borrow enough of it to buy a store on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, and you will be okay. That's it for me. This weekend, Saturday night, I'm going to be at the Thornton Winery in Temecula. I'm opening for the great George Benson. I love working with jazz artists, so it's going to be a great weekend for me working with George Benson. And next week, Thursday, I'm going to be at the Heidi Ho comic book store in West LA because I'm doing some weird spots because I'm home for a while. So thank you for listening. This is Alonzo asking who's paying attention and saying it's you.